This is Anthony Richardson, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by Cody Carpentier and the Trash Man. As training camps continue to roll on, we have had Can't Miss Mitch now go to the Giants. He's headed up to the Patriots right now. Trash Man and Cody about to deploy along with Byron to get you all the news and insight that you need. But as of right now, coming out of the radio shows this weekend, we have updates to the cheat sheets at RosterWatch.com, the magical, mystical, mythical three-step cheat sheets. You should not be drafting without them. They're available at RosterWatch.com along with all of our other tools. So make sure you get those. You cannot afford to draft without it. You follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper, and expert quality draft is always guaranteed. And as I've been running the update, so Cody, you got up version 1.1 of standard and half point PPR earlier today. I'm running tests to get version 3.3 of PPR updated. And man, now that we're pulling in more data from Sleeper on the PPR side, especially now that we're pulling in more data from CBS Sports, which just started really last night, we're seeing some ADP shifts with these guys. We're seeing things change, and that might be starting to present value, but it's also starting to make me feel a little bit kind of weird and goosey about some of these guys. The first one I wanted to talk about was Cody. You and I had texted about this before, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts and Trash Man's thoughts on this. With this latest round of PPR kind of consensus rankings, with when we bring in Yahoo, when we bring in ESPN, whenever we bring in the CBS Sports and Sleeper, we've seen now, Isaiah Pacheco is now going at before the 1-2 before the 2-3 turn. He's at 21 overall, whereas Devon Achane has now moved down to 26 overall. So we're now being able to start getting Devon Achane sometimes, even later, kind of he's falling to the 3-4 turn, whereas Pacheco's going ahead of him. And structurally on the cheat sheet, that was messing some things up. I still want Achane, but I'm wondering, how do you guys compare those two guys, Pacheco versus Devon Achane?
I mean, Achane, from what we've already experienced with him, is, you know, probably more injury prone. He's just more boom or bust player. Pacheco, more of a consistent, you kind of know what you're going to get out of Pacheco on a week to week basis. Less competition in the backfield for sure. But yeah, I think, you know, the upside of Achane isn't there. The upside for Pacheco in comparison to Achane is not there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe when I looked back and I saw that Achane, even in standard, man, he went for over 20 points in standard last year, one third of the time. He went for over 25 in PPR, 25% of the time. But the fact of the matter is, his bust rate is super high at almost 42% of the time. So Trashman's exactly right for once. Achane is a boom bust player, right? I just wonder, like, how much Jalen Wright is going to bite into this, because with Pacheco, I can see why this is starting to pick up steam, man. The Chiefs, all we're seeing for training camp is these deep bombs to Xavier Worthy, and we know how things are. It's just so much better. Like, Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, and eventually getting back Rashi Rice, that's so much better than, you know, MVS and, you know, Justin Watson and all the rest. I think that offense is going to be operating more smoothly and scoring position more often. And, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they're talking about him, like, I mean, is he even going to make the team? And, you know, Denaric Prince is running ahead of him. It feels like his role is really, really safe as long as he's healthy, and a good offense is going to be playing in high scoring games. But with Achane, you know, it's really hard to get those 50 burgers out of your mind from last season.
I think I'm, I, I'm coming around on the Pacheco thing, you know, as a whole, but the price tag for both players, I think, is the toughest thing for me. Cause I don't really love that end of round two capital for either player when we know that neither are dominators in the receiving game. When you look at the rest of the league and the players that are going off in that range, whether it be Chris Olave, you know, if you could go the tight end direction with Kelce or Laporta, you take the first tight end off the board. Derrick Henry's another guy we like in that same area. Josh Jacobs. Like, when you talk about these other guys, that Derrick Henry, who we've seen and we project to be.
Henry's going much earlier now with the new stuff, though.
Much early as what? 19.3. Pacheco's 22. Like, it's right there. They're with each other in the same conversation. And that's why, like, I'm saying, like, in that area, you have all of these other players that have other aspects, whether it's a receiver with mad PPR chops and Olave, who's down there in New Orleans with really not a ton there that's going to take targets away, whether it's tight end, whether it's a running back that in Josh Jacobs you know is going to be the full-blown bell cow. Listen, I like Pacheco, and I think that the boom upside is obviously apparent. We saw it last year weeks on end when he was healthy. Pacheco in that offense, I'm coming much more around on because – they aren't spending anything in that backfield. They're not going to spend anything because they've learned from the Pacheco and the Clyde Edwards-Helaire dichotomy experiment that they don't need to spend capital in the running back positions. Now it's Denarik Prince. It's like, is Denarik Prince really going to be the guy that takes away those carries from Isaiah Pacheco?
He's going to look good in camp because he's such an athletic guy, but he's like, I mean, this was the same thing we heard last year about Denarik Prince.
But that's the whole thing, is it's the same player as Pacheco. Pacheco had the same chops. Pacheco was the athlete in the backfield. This is my point, is that it doesn't matter, like, who's in the backfield. This feels much more like it's Pacheco-controlled, whereas Miami, you still have Achane, but you also have Wright, you also have Mostert, you also have, you know, the whole offense just and how it's built is much more conducive to throwing the football than Kansas City, where last year they showed their ability to completely pivot to the run game. And I would say today, despite the videos you're seeing on Twitter of Worthy and Hollywood and XYZ, like, they're still going to run the football because Kelce's aged. They want it. And Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy have not exactly been the picture of health in their career. Like, they're going to want to run the football in Kansas City. So between these two guys, I lean Pacheco more so now than I did maybe 2 weeks ago. But I still, like I said, don't love clicking the button on either one at the end of round two.
Okay. But let's say, I've done sim after sim after sim with this, and I think I get where you're saying. I think structurally I can make this work, but at what point do you say I'm comfortable for going? So Henry is not in this conversation, right? Is ETN in this same conversation with Pacheco and Devon Achane for you?
Yeah.
Those guys are in a separate tier.
I think ETN's in that same area.
With more, but not Henry.
What are you saying? Are you saying you'd rather have?
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is, all right, so you're saying that when you get to the end of the second round, beginning of third round, there's a, like, I'm envisioning you saying, it's like, man, I might have a chance to get like a Chris Olave or a Drake London or a Mike Evans or something, you know what I'm saying, like that, all right? So are we on the same page as
correct?
Okay.
Correct.
So would you forego one of those wide receivers to take Derrick Henry?
Depends if I started out with Hill or Bijan, if I'm drafting from the, you know, two
just
or three.
In a vacuum. Let's just say in a vacuum.
I think I'd rather have Olave.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Okay. So what you're basically saying, though, is that you'd rather have Olave. You're kind of, you know, you can pick and choose between like a Drake London or whatever the rest. Okay. So I think Derrick Henry does belong there. He can be in the mix there for that late second round. Can Travis Etienne, can he be in the mix as far as a decision?
100%. I would have, I mean, ETN's ahead of Pacheco, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's right.
Yes. Well, we have ETN ahead of Pacheco. Is ETN ahead of Pacheco as far as the ADP nowadays? Like that Pacheco ADP really freaked me out earlier today. So ETN's ETN's actually ahead of Derrick Henry now.
which, as he should be.
I'm not
freshman.
Sure.
You're a fan of ETN, right?
Yeah,
we talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely. I'm gonna take King Henry of Baltimore over ETN, but I do like them both.
I would 100%. I mean, the ADP tells you it, but I would 100%. And I know this is maybe a stupid take because the ADP tells you this, but I would 100% rather have ETN and or Henry vis-a-vis Isaiah Pacheco and or Devon Achane. Like structurally.
Vis-a-vis who and Achane? I'm sorry. What'd you say?
The conversation Pacheco. Started Isaiah Pacheco and Achane. Like their ADP is where they should be now.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Isaiah Pacheco and Achane, you feel like need to be more kind of like where more like where you start getting to like after Mike Evans, more towards like Jalen Waddle and Devontae Smith and Neighbors and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, we should be getting all, I mean, personal. I think as far as everything's lined up and we've talked about these tiers at the receiver position, we should be getting as much of that Devontae Smith, that Malik Neighbors, you know, I think Metcalf, Pittman can also be lumped in there, like as much of that tier at receiver as possible. And then I think that equates with missing out on the Pachecos and the Achanes, which is structurally where I want to be.
Does it equate with missing out on missing out on Josh Jacobs, Kamara?
Kamara, I think, is in a good conversation. And Josh Jacobs is one where, like, I definitely want to get, like, 15-20% of Jacobs at least.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like, really. Do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, available at rosterwatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet that changed fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard Roster Watch live on SiriusXM Radio here on the podcasts from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the Roster Watch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An expert quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at rosterwatch.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, so structurally, this is going to be pretty impossible to make work. I'm going to try to make it work, but it's like if you clear that area out. I mean, what? Here's the other thing. So there are two other things I want to talk about. Then we can talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. But this is helping me through this update's hard today. So David Montgomery now is basically on all sites. He's ahead of James Conner in PPR. What do you guys think about that? Because I was actually surprised to look back and see last year that David Montgomery, even in PPR, I know it was buoyed by touchdowns, which are, you know, fairly unpredictable, but he was actually one of the safest PPR. Not super. It's like the opposite of Achane, right? Only 5% of games, just monsters. But he only busted for you in PPR, got you less than 10 points. I think like once all last season, it was like 11% of the time. Whereas you look at Connor, you know, he goes big for those 25 point games, almost, you know, a little more than double what Montgomery did, but he busts three times as often.
So are busts included? I'm like, when you're saying bust, is that including games that he just misses out, right?
No, games he played. Yeah. So it's, the reason why I think Montgomery still needs to stay ahead of Connor in PPR, but I'm not 100% convinced of this, but why don't you guys just let me know your thoughts? So let's say like if Trey Benson gets hurt, James Connor doesn't just go absolutely to the moon, right? If Jahmyr Gibbs gets hurt, David Montgomery goes to the moon. And David Montgomery is very safe even with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Can I enter one thing into this conversation?
Yeah.
And I want an honest truth on this, because it's again, it's day one in pads. This is a report from today. For those thinking the RB2 battle was firmly between Michael Carter and Trey Benson, which I didn't know Michael Carter was in the conversation, Imari DiMercato has something to say. DiMercato has been a common occurrence, subbing in for James Conner during first team work. His pass protecting ability has been in display early. That's out of the Arizona camp. That's a 32 beat writer's retweet. My question is, how do we even see this backfield breaking down? Because if it's of James Conner of past, right, it's 70%+ opportunity share. It's a ton of work in the red zone. Like
bad defense, like a bunch of back and forth games, a lot of dome stuff, good environment. I mean,
do you think the Conner usage is going to be the same?
Or I think this is Conner's backfield until he gets hurt.
And I think when he gets hurt, I don't care what they say about Imari DiMercato. This is
I mean, I've been reading about the Michael Carter. Yeah. I mean, I had thought that Michael Carter was ahead of Benson to start training camp.
Is this why Benson? That's another guy who's I've noticed that Brian Thomas is falling in these simulations.
Yeah.
Benson's falling in these simulations. Kendre Miller, gosh, you can't get him low enough right now. And then the other one was Ty Chandler. It feels like he's falling in the sims. I'm not exactly sure why, but it feels like in these old, I'm just like every time I'm getting Ty Chandler, I'm like, why do we get, like, do I want this much Ty Chandler? You know, I don't understand what it is about him, why he's falling, you know, whereas it's getting a little harder to get Jacobs. It's getting harder to get Zeke, dude.
Well, I'm good on Zeke, dude. I felt good about it for a little bit until I read the reports about how the offensive line is performing. And I'm like, yeah, if this offensive line is worse than it was last year, which it was middle of the pack. It was like 14th in rush grade at PFF. Like if it's worse and Tyler Guyton's not coming along to where they need him to be, and it's straight up just Zeke back there, and like Rico Dowdle hasn't pushed him at all. Like
didn't
this
is all the number two
and nuke being dropped in Arlington, and this thing just exploding and being a mess and disgusting, you know, just a complete stay away.
Well, but still, I mean, my whole point with Zeke is that he's the lead back on a team that's going to run a lot of plays, and it's a good offense, and he's like going like, well, I'm just,
I mean, that's a top five offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I think I'd rather have him over a committee back.
It's a top five offense with a good, if it has a good offensive line, if it has a happy CeeDee Lamb, and who, like, 3 years ago was a top five projected offense, right? When it had Gallup, when it had Lamb, when it had, you know, all these other pieces that are now gone, and when Pollard was healthy, and like, now it's, I'm kind of scared of this Dallas offense. Like, I've been pretty positive about Dallas, but I'm getting much more worried when you hear that, like I said, the offensive line is doing worse than it was last year when they actually put resources in Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton into it, and they paid the right tackle, and it's worse. And now you have obviously an aged Zeke. Like how can you, I don't know, like Chase Brown's going off what 18 picks later. Chase Brown's going to have 18 picks later. Gus Edwards is right there next to him. Devin Singletary, we heard from Can't Miss Mitch yesterday. He's three spots earlier than Zeke. Devin Singletary looks good. Like, I kind of feel better about Devin Singletary than I do about Zeke, and that sounds terrible. I don't want any part of either one.
Hey there, Roster Watch Nation. It's your Philly neighbor Trash Man, and Underdog Fantasy is the only place to get your NFL pick'em action. It couldn't be easier. Just look at Underdog's stat projections for NFL players and choose higher or lower. Do you think Tyreek Hill is going to smash this week? Take the higher. Do you hate Saquon Barkley's matchup? Take the lower. And if you don't know which to choose, here's the good news. Roster Watch is here for you in 2024. We have an all-new weekly Underdog Pick'em show for each slate of the season starting in week one. It's time for Roster Watch Nation to dominate in the Pick'em streets. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com and sign up using promo code ROSTER to claim your special pick, plus first-time deposit offer of up to $250 in bonus cash. And remember, you have to use the promo code ROSTER.
You got the Trash Man rubbing off on
me. I don't want any part. I just said, I didn't say shit about, I don't want any part of either one of them. I'm just saying, like, that's the conversation we're having, and we should be having, is Zeke against Singletary in a realistic conversation, not, you know, Zeke is this, I don't think he's an insane value right now, because I'm worried.
I'm not sure. I'm saying I think he's an insane value. I think he's a fine running back four in season long managed leagues, and if you can draft him as such, I don't mind it. He's got Rico Dowdle and Tiny Deuce.
He's going to be getting the bulk of carries on a team.
What's going to happen to an old Zeke with 250 touches? He's not going to make it to 250.
He's going to score touchdowns. He's
probably going to score, and he's probably going to catch balls like he did in New England last year when we were all playing him in DFS all the time. They don't have anybody else to throw to.
You are going to get so cooked.
I'm not going all in on Zeke. I'm saying he's a fine RB4.
Yeah, like, where are we drafting Zeke right now? Anyways, it's not like you're having to.
He's falling to 9th to 10th. Like we're talking about an RB4. One other thing is the Devontae Smith, Malik Nabers. I've always said these two guys might flip. When you bring in all the ADPs, they used to be back-to-back as far as wide receivers, Devontae Smith and Malik Nabers. Now they're just back-to-back as players. People are having to make that decision in every draft between Devontae Smith and Malik Nabers. Devontae Smith is technically ahead, but it's just by a hair.
In the first iteration of the standard half cheat sheet, I had Smith ahead 1.0. I put Nabers ahead 1.1. I put Smith ahead. I'm working on 1.2 already. I put Nabers back ahead. I flip both of these guys every single time. I'm getting a fair share of both.
How are we going to put an untested rookie with a garbage quarterback on an arguably garbage offense ahead of Devontae Smith right now?
Oh, my. I mean, I get that.
Well, it's fair enough. I mean,
strategically, from a roster building standpoint, we're getting Smith every single time anyways. Not every single time, 80%, like literally 70-80% of the time. The thing is you're going to start having to, and you are having to take Nabers first in order, and you'll still get Smith. But if you take Smith, you won't get Nabers.
I don't think that's always true, at least not in PPR. That's not always
in half
true.
Standard, more often than not, if you take Nabers first, Smith, it depends, of course, where you're drafting at, but Smith will fall to you in the other aspect. Smith, if you take Smith first, Nabers will never fall to you.
No, yes, he will. I've seen both of those phenomena happen.
Okay, maybe in PPR, but not in half and standard. It's not working like that. I'm just telling you how the drafts are unfolding when I'm doing the Sims. Like, I did it for 3 hours this morning, and I switched these guys back and forth because I'm trying to, like you said, like fit the puzzle pieces in, and it's tough because I really want both these dudes. We've talked about this tier of receivers for the last month, and it's like, they're still sitting there, and they're still sick value. They're both disgusting. I want them both.
Right? Yeah, I want both of them. I'm starting to wonder if just with the way the cheat sheet works, and people know it's made of magic, but you can tell just a whole bunch of man hours go into this, which is testing it and understanding how the Sims work. And I want to get both. I'm just wondering if this neighbor stuff. I wonder if he's going to flip him because it just seems like what the trends have been. I certainly agree, Cody. You could take Nabers first and you can get Devontae Smith, but you can take Devontae Smith and still get Nabers. I'm worried that's going to change. Like, I'm worried that maybe what you're seeing in the 0.5 PPR Sims is about what I'm about to start seeing that I'm kind of yet to see in PPR. It feels to me like those two are interchangeable. With that being said, I feel like we need to break a tie. Trashman says, no way, Nabers over Devontae Smith. You say, you're just like me. You're waffling on it, but you kind of want to make it Nabers. The reason I'm scared of Nabers is because Mitch just got back from there. He says that offensive line looks terrible.
Yeah, that offense. Terrible.
Offense is going to be terrible, but it's going to funnel through one player. Like Mitch literally said, like it's Wandale, it's Hyatt, sometimes Slayton, and it's like it's Nabers, and Nabers is so clearly the number one player, number one target, number one everything there.
I mean, thinking about like scoring profile for either of those players, like Devontae Smith, we at least get. I mean, like it's already a good offense, you know. He's already got the errant touchdown there anyway, and then you add the big playability. Nabers, we're relying on big playability for him to score touchdowns.
That's not going to be
an offense that's scoring a lot of touchdowns otherwise.
It doesn't matter because we already saw Ja'Marr Chase get drafted ahead of Devonta Smith in the NFL draft. You're getting a second opportunity here to draft Malik Nabers ahead of Devonta Smith, and you're going to do it because Devonta Smith is competing with A.J. Brown. He's got Saquon Barkley in this backfield. He's got Dallas Goedert. He's got speed all around him. And there's only one player in New York that even has the opportunity to go north of 100 targets. And we're not going to pass up, and we cannot afford to pass up on a guy that's going to go north of 140 targets with the upside of going nuclear, going for north of 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, even in a terrible offense. And that player's name is Malik Nabers. You just can't afford to skip out on him. So we got to take him over Devonta Smith, just like Ja'Marr Chase went over Devonta Smith.